of relationships. And so we're going to read two scriptures this morning. We're going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. But then we're going to also look at the book of Judges chapter 16, verses 4 through 22. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And I need us to link in and lock in to this message today. Today is all about helping us have a godly and biblical perspective on dating. So whether you're single or married, this message, I believe, is something that can equip all of us and help us. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Do not be yoked together with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? Everybody say this. For we are the temple of the living God. Here's what Paul continues to say. As God said, I will dwell and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Let's flip over to the Old Testament book of the book of Judges, chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 4. Start reading there. Sometime later, he, meaning Samson, fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the Sorek Valley. The Philistine leaders went to her and said, persuade him to tell you where his great strength comes from, so we can overpower him, tie him up, and make him helpless. Each of us will then give you 1,000 pieces of silver. Verse 6, so Delilah said to Samson, please tell me, where does your great strength come from? How could someone tie you up and make you helpless? Then I want you to jump down to verse 18. Here's what it says. When Delilah realized that he had told her the whole truth, he sent this message to the Philistine leaders. Come one more time, for he has told me the whole truth. The Philistine leaders came to her and brought the silver with them. Verse 19, then she let him fall asleep on her lap and called a man to shave off the 7 braids on his head. In this way, she made him helpless and his strength left him. Verse 20, then she cried, Samson, the Philistines are here. And when he awoke from his sleep, he said, I will escape as I did before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Verse 21, the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he was forced to grind grain in the prison. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we continue our series, The Blueprint, and call today's sermon, When Someone Catches Your Eye. As we talk about dating, when someone catches your eye. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. Lord, would you teach us? Would you grow us? Would you mature us through your word? Any distractions that the enemy would try to use to hinder us from receiving it, God, we come against it even now. I pray, Father, that as we hear your preached and taught word, that it would grow us and make us more like Jesus, even in the area of relationships and dating. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat this morning. When someone catches your eye. Now, family, not too long ago, I was having a conversation with somebody in their 20s. They said to me, fam, it's hard out in these dating streets. He's talking about his journey as a single young man trying to find someone to be with. We begin to have conversation about the difficulties and some of the challenges in today's time pertaining to dating and finding someone to be with. And it's interesting because we live in a time where there's all these different dating platforms that exist today, platforms like Tinder and Bumble and Hinge and eHarmony. And on all these different platforms, the whole precipice is centered around helping people to find someone to be with. But what this also begins to show us is that there is a desire to be in relationship with someone else. I found a statistic that I found to be very interesting. It said that the average online user on dating websites and apps spends an average 50 minutes per day on a dating app. And what this begins to show us is that there is a desire and a hunger that many people have when it comes to finding someone to be with. But what's interesting about the culture and the time that we live in is what we see in culture is that there's many different places to find someone. But what we don't see in culture is what to truly look for in someone and what should be our criteria for being in relationship with someone. Now, I believe that this message is so vital and so important because in the world and the culture gives us all of these different ideas and thoughts behind dating. And unfortunately, sometimes we in the body of Christ have not always done the best job at either combating that or taking the lead and leading that conversation. So the world or culture is talking much about dating. But oftentimes, sometimes, unfortunately, the body of Christ is somewhat silent on dating, which I believe now leads to the detriment of many people. Which now brings us here to these passages of scripture that we just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in Judges 16, because here, y'all, we see a repetitive theme of the dangers and the perils of entering into the wrong type of relationship with someone that can cause a deterioration in someone's life. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says these words in verse 14, "Do not be yoked together with those that do not believe." Now, from the outset, let me help us understand what Paul is not saying. What Paul is not saying is that we should not know unbelievers. What Paul is not saying is that we should not have any conversation with unbelievers, because if we don't know unbelievers as a believer and we don't have conversations with non-believers as a believer, well, then how would non-believers of Jesus Christ end up becoming believers of Jesus Christ? So he's not speaking about this from an evangelistic standpoint or a relational standpoint on the surface. What he's talking about is in a deep, intimate, shared connection. And when you think about the language that he uses here, he says, do not be yoked together. A yoke was an agricultural device back in that time, but it's also sometimes used in our time today that would connect two different types of animals together. Most farmers of good experience and wisdom and knowledge knew that it was not wise to pair together animals that were not complementary to one another. So good farmers would not pair together an ox and a donkey. Because in the plowing process, the ox is doing one thing and the donkey will be doing something completely different because of the stubborn nature of the donkey. And what Paul is helping us understand here in 2 Corinthians is that we should not be yoked together, tied together, bound in many ways together with someone that we don't have godliness in common with. And the principle that we see here is the same principle that we see at work in Samson's life. Because now here in Judges chapter 16, what you begin to see is this young man by the name of Samson who finds himself getting caught up with a young woman. He's not married to her, but he's entertaining this young woman, and her name is Delilah. Everybody say Delilah. Many of us who know the Bible somewhat, and maybe some of us who don't have any understanding of the Bible, maybe have heard about the story of Samson and Delilah. But I don't want to assume that we all have an understanding, so let me give us a basic context first of who Samson is. Samson was somebody who was considered to be a judge for God in the Old Testament, meaning a leader. He was somebody that God had raised up to help to lead his people in the book of Judges. But there was many things that were spoken over the life of Samson when he was a baby, that he was considered to be a Nazarite or a Nazarene, meaning that there was no razor was allowed to touch his head, meaning his hair could not be cut. That was one of the sacred things that God had established. When you go back and look in Judges chapter 14 and 15, you see this principle and you see this sacred sacrament that God established over his life. But Samson was also somebody, y'all, who had essentially like supernatural strength. There's a story about Samson and how a lion was charging at him. And as the lion was charging at him, he literally ripped the lion's jaw apart with his bare hands. Y'all, that's Captain America type strength. Wait, that's Captain America 1, 2, and 3, Super Serum Captain America. That new Captain America, he don't got the serum yet. Sam might take an L if he mess around and get up with a lion. But y'all, Samson had this incredible strength, supernatural strength that came from God. It wasn't in and of himself. It came from God. And all throughout Samson's life, you see the physical strength of Samson. Part of his leadership calling was that he was called by God to defeat the Philistine army. So oftentimes you would see him getting in these large fights and these large armies where the Bible talks about how Samson defeated thousands of a Philistine army with a single jawbone. A jawbone. And he destroyed a whole army. Supernatural strength. Samson was strong physically. But when you look at Samson's life internally, he had weaknesses. Because even though Samson was somebody who was strong externally, he was somebody who oftentimes struggled internally. He had strength, but he had a weakness. And his weakness oftentimes was connected to some Philistine women. Them Philistine women were oftentimes, as the Bible says here earlier in Judges chapter 16, would oftentimes catch the eye of Samson. What ultimately led to Samson's downfall in his life, it wasn't a lack of strength. It was his sight. It was his eyes. His eyes is what led to his downfall. Which is why now it makes sense as to why the scriptures will say in the New Testament now that we walk by faith and not by sight. Because your sight will get you and I messed up. If I'm only governing myself based upon what I see, then that has the propensity to lead to a downfall in my life, which is why in 1 John 2, it says that there's only three things in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. Can I help you understand something in here? One of the ways that the enemy will oftentimes try to trip you and I up is not through just what we desire, but through what we see. Which is why people like Job says this in the book of Job, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look lustfully upon a person. My eyesight. And it's interesting because in Samson's case, his downfall was his sight. And I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to somewhat of the end of the story. If you jump over to verse 21, we've already read it to start the sermon off, but I want to come back to it. It says this, that when the Philistines seized him, watch what the Bible says, they gouged out his eyes. And it's interesting because later on in scripture in the New Testament, Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Now, he's not talking about literally. He's talking about metaphorically that you and I should be guarding what we see because what we see now becomes an entryway into our heart. And with Samson, he was good and strong at defending the people of God against the Philistines. But he had a weakness when it came to defending his eyes. And it led to his downfall. So he sees somebody like Delilah. She looks good. She smells good. She's talking good. And the Bible says when he saw her, he fell in love with her. Even though she was essentially a plot from the enemy to cause the down spiral of Samson's life. And how does this apply to dating? I want you to write this down. Because in dating, if we're not careful, what may catch your eye may trap your heart. And I need us to understand this. For those of us who are single, those of us who are young, no matter what season of life you're in, even for those of us who are married, there's principles from this message today that I believe are transferable no matter what season of life that we're in. But especially for those of us, maybe you're single right now and you're trying to find somebody. Maybe you're dating somebody right now, or maybe you're thinking about dating somebody. Maybe somebody slid into your DMs on Valentine's Day. Don't get quiet on me now. Maybe somebody sent you a text message, maybe an old flame. Found your number, found your profile, sent you a message. And what the enemy is banking on is that you would entertain that. And in Samson's case, Samson family, because of this moment, loses essentially everything. He lost his eyes because he followed what looked good instead of what was godly. He lost his strength because he let his flesh lead him instead of his faith in God. And he lost his freedom. Look at where verse 21 says, the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he was forced to grind grain in the prison. That because of Samson being caught up with what he was seeing and being caught up with the wrong person, it led to blindness and it led to bondage. Can I help us understand, family, for those of us who are single and you're dating somebody right now or you're thinking about dating, you need to be very careful with who you allow to get close to you and who you get close to in this season of your life. Because if you hook up with the wrong person, it can lead to blindness of some kind and it can lead to bondage of some kind. That your relationships, for better or for worse, can set your life up for success or for failure. And I believe that just like Samson, many men and women and young adults and students of all ages, we sometimes have found ourselves entertaining relationships that we should not have entertained. We saw the red flags, but ignored them. We saw the warning lights, but sped through them. Maybe we lowered our standards to be with somebody. We compromised our convictions and our integrity to link up with somebody. Maybe for some of us who are dating somebody right now, you hooked up with them because you believe in your heart of hearts, I can change this person. That this person will get better as a result of being with me. You treat them like a project. But what we don't recognize is that it's hard to carry dead weight. Paul says again, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. And so here in Samson's case in verse 21, y'all, we see him bound and we see him blind. We see his eyes plucked out and gouged out. He is in one of the worst moments that he could ever imagine in his life. And his story should have ended here. He should have been done here. It should have been a wrap here. But I want you to notice something in verse 22. Here's what it says. We got it on the screen. But his hair began to grow back after it had been shaved. I don't know if y'all caught it. Remember what I said. If a razor touched his head, strength was gone because it signified that God was no longer with him. And in this moment, we also see in verse 20, and I'm going to deal with it in a moment, it says, Samson got up after his hair was cut, after Delilah said, Samson, the Philistines are here, get up, whatever. He says, I will get up and I will free myself just like I did before. His confidence was not in God, it was in himself. And the Bible says, a cautionary tale, careful. It says, he did not realize that the Lord had left him. I'm gonna deal with that in a moment, but here's the principle that I want us to see, that in this moment, Samson was trusting more in his own strength, and he lost everything. And the secret to that oftentimes was his hair. His hair was a physical expression of a spiritual reality. But in the midst of it being cut off, in the midst of it being lost, the Bible says in verse 22, his hair began to grow back after it had been shaved. What is the principle I want us to understand? That God's grace didn't leave Samson where his choice put him. That even after all his mistakes, God still showed Samson grace. And here is the good news for us today, that even when we ignore the red flags and even when we've messed up our life, maybe you've run through some bad decisions and maybe you've settled for something outside of God's will and maybe you've been blinded by some bad decisions like Samson, but in spite of all that we have done, God's grace and mercy has still been sufficient every step of the way. Matter of fact, the reason why you are where you are today in the midst of bad decisions, let's be real, in the midst of hooking up with some people that we had no business doing with, God's grace was still sufficient. Come on, I'm talking to some real people in here that say, when I look back over my life, there's no reason I should be where I am today. I've made so many bad decisions. I've sinned against God. I've disobeyed God. But because of his goodness and because of his mercy following me all the days of my life, I am where I am today. And I just want to know, is there anybody here at the 11 o'clock service that's grateful for the grace of God on your life? Grateful that God has been patient with you. Grateful that God has been kind to you. His grace, so his hair began to grow back. If I was preaching a different type of service that wasn't maybe about relationships, but about God restoring things, I would say something like this: God can make it grow back. That the thing that you feel like you've lost and the thing that you feel like you've gone without, the joy that you've lost and the peace that you've lost and the fulfillment that you've lost and the satisfaction that you've lost and the faithfulness that you've lost. I'm here to let you know that because of the grace of God, he can cause things that were dead and were cut off. He can cause things to grow back. He is the God who brings dead things back to life. He is the God who resuscitates things back to life. He is the God who restores and renews. And it's because of that that now we can learn from Samson's story about what to avoid. Yeah. when it comes to dating. That even in this area of relationships, when we look at Samson's most well-known moment of failure when it comes to relationships, that I believe that there's some principles here that we can learn from Samson's life when it comes to having our eyes on someone to be with. For some of us in here, you're single. Studies have shown that at least 50% of people are single, which means half this room in here is single. But while I'm talking about singleness, and part of the reason why I want to do a whole message on this, kind of separated from everything else, is because I need some of us to understand that just because you are single does not mean you are insignificant. Amen. That the world says that the goal of life is to be married. I'm here to let you know that the goal of life is to be one with Jesus. That's it. That marriage does not need to be the goal ultimately. Jesus needs to be the goal. And when you look throughout the scriptures, there's many people who are faithful who were never married. And they were single. And they were satisfied. They were fulfilled because they were one with God. And they were walking in God's purpose. But if we are single and you are in this season where you're looking to be with somebody, here's what I need us to understand. We can't do it culture's way. We got to do it God's way. Culture's way will get you sick. But God's way leads to life. And what Paul talks about constantly throughout the New Testament, even as he's writing to these believers here in 2 Corinthians 6, they have this newfound life in Christ. And now Paul is saying, hey, don't be yoked together in a deep, intimate way with people who don't share your faith. You can know them. You can love them from afar. But don't be yoked up with them. Don't intertwine your life with them. Can I be real? Don't give your bodies to them. Don't try to blend your faith with theirs. Come on, how real y'all want me to be? That you a Christian, but they not a Christian. Don't blend that. You love Jesus, they love Buddha. Don't blend that. You love Jesus, but they love the universe. Don't blend that. You believe in prayer. They believe in sage. Don't blend. Because we live in a culture where culture says, oh, everybody believe in the same thing and everybody does the same thing and it doesn't matter if you blend this. No. God's saying, do not blend this together because it's going to lead to your downfall. And that's exactly what happened with Samson. He ended up being with somebody who he had nothing in common with. He found this Philistine woman and he ended up being with this person. And it led to his downfall. Here's what you're not going to find a whole lot in scripture. You're not going to find a whole lot of instances where the Bible is specifically talking about things like dating and all this other type of stuff. You're not going to find all of that. But what you find in scripture is wisdom and principles that we can apply in every season of life that we're in, specifically even in the area of dating. And I believe, y'all, that this is one area that we as the church, as the body of Christ, we haven't always done the best job at giving wisdom in. Because we just kind of spiritualize everything. And to some extent, we should, but we can't stop there. Oh, just pray about it. I mean, yes. But what's some practical things I should look for as well? How do I avoid some traps? How do I avoid some pitfalls? But here's a lesson I want us all to get here today. If you don't get anything else, don't date Delilah. I apologize to anybody whose name is Delilah. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the type of person here. Don't date Delilah. And to make it comparable for all of us, you know, for the guys, don't date Delilah. Ladies, don't, let's shorten the name. Don't date Dell. Dell. Don't date Dale or wherever you're from, Dale. Run. Don't have anything to do with them. The Bible talks about fleeing the appearance of evil. Don't mess with them. Don't flirt with them. Samson's problem was he's flirting with temptation. Don't play with fire, fam, because the longer you do it, you get burned at some point. And remember what Samson said. We read it earlier around verse 20. He said, I will save myself and free myself just like I have done in the past. His confidence was in his own strength, not in God's. And I'm here to let us know, do not date Delilah. I thought about calling this message, don't date Delilah. Don't date Delilah. And when you look at Samson's account, as he's engaging in this relationship, if you will, with Delilah, they're not married, so you can essentially kind of almost argue that they're somewhat tied together in a dating romantic type of sense. He's being transparent and he's opening himself up to this relationship. But here's what we, there's some elements that we need when it comes to dating to ensure that our relationships and our relational life is actually what God wants it to be. There's some ingredients that need to be present in order for us to date, not culture's way, but the King's way. Number one, I want you to write this down. Here's what we need in dating. Number one is this, we need Christ. We need Christ. I'm sorry if it's not deep enough for us. If you miss that, you miss everything. We need Christ. Because if there's one thing that you do not see anywhere in the scripture is that Delilah had a relationship with God. Matter of fact, the Bible says here in verse 4, watch what the Bible says. It says this, sometime later he fell in love with a woman named Delilah who lived in the Sorek Valley. The Sorek Valley or the Valley of Sorek was her home that was known as a Philistine territory. And Philistines were people that God said don't have nothing to do with them because they worship false gods. They got all these different types of philosophies. They follow the philosophies of the day. They might look good, but they ain't good. Don't have nothing to do with them. Matter of fact, that's why when David, when he was facing Goliath, Goliath was also a Philistine, he says to Goliath, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that threatens God's people? So there was already this understanding that Philistines were not, we don't rock with them because they go in a whole different direction other than the direction of God. But for Samson to find himself linked up with Delilah means that he made an intentional effort to see her and to pursue her. And Samson now, as a result of this, finds himself entangled with Delilah. Old preacher will say, you should have known something was wrong because she got the word lie in her name. Delilah. The old preacher will say, somebody got lie in their name, run. They gonna lie to you. But I believe that there was a whole bunch of red flags that Samson could have paused at, but he maybe ignored. And one of them was the fact that she had no relationship with God. That is the epitome of what Paul says, being unequally yoked. Here's the principle that I want us to understand, that we need to make sure that the Lord is leading us in dating and not our flesh. So for some of us right now who are single and you're in this season where you're maybe thinking about dating, here's the first thing I need you to do. I need you to back up and reverse course. First question you need to ask is, God, are you and I good? Amen. How's my relationship with God? Amen. Then, once we assess that, ask God, God, do you want me to be with somebody? Amen. Do you know how many times people's lives have been wrecked simply because we did not pray about the person who caught our eye? I know it's tough to say amen right now. That's okay. I know. Because all of us, myself included, have stories, I believe, where we linked up with somebody. And I'm not even talking about romantic relationship. It could be a friendship that you connected with somebody or you linked up with somebody that you had no business linking up with and your life went downhill. But if we rewind it back, did we consult God about that? I believe that the enemy convinces us, especially when it comes to relationships, that we don't really need God's direction. We could do it on our own. So oftentimes, we won't necessarily pray prayers like, God, if you don't want me to be with this person in the relationship, because we're scared of what he might say. We don't pray prayers like, God, do you want me to be with this person? And because we oftentimes leave God out, it leads to a mess. And what you see here in Judges 16 is God ain't present a whole lot, which is why verse 20 says he did not recognize that the Lord had left him. Now, for us as New Testament believers, God doesn't leave us. The Bible says that when we trust in Jesus Christ, we are sealed in our salvation with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us this. So meaning this, when I say yes to Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me to seal my salvation. Meaning this, I can't lose my salvation because there was nothing I did to earn it. It's called eternal life for a reason. If I could lose it, it wouldn't be eternal. It would be called temporary. Can I help you understand something? Your sin can outdo Jesus' blood. So if you are in Christ, there's nothing that can take you out of Christ. But there's a difference between being in Christ and Christ being in this relationship. And what we see here, in Samson's case, God had nothing to do with Samson and Delilah. And what this helps us to understand is that when it comes to dating, we need Christ to be present. We need his presence to be leading us and to guide us. I want you to write this down, that a relationship without Christ at the center is like a car without an engine. It may look good, but it won't go anywhere. I'm gonna say it again, that a relationship without Christ at the center is like a car without an engine. It may look good, but it ain't going nowhere. On the surface, it looks great, but it don't have the right engine. And here's what we see with Samson. Samson gave his heart to Delilah. He gave his love to Delilah. He gave his heart to someone who had yet to give her heart to the Lord. And so if God is love, which the Bible says, and this person doesn't know God, well, how will they love me like God loves me if they don't know the God who is love? And Samson found himself linked up with somebody, family, who didn't know God. So the number one priority when it comes to dating is not, do they look good? Well, are they with God?
Yes.
That's what it is.
Amen.
So when we on the Tinder app and eHarmony, sliding in somebody DMs, somebody send you a TikTok message, all that, I need to first be filtering everything through the lens of, God, where are you in this? Because I don't want to be yoked up with somebody who doesn't know you.
Amen.
Here's the second thing I want us to understand, that we not only need Christ, but we also need compatibility.
Amen.
Everybody say compatibility.
Compatibility.
Meaning this, that we share some similar values. Samson and Delilah share no values at all. She was a Philistine. He was somebody who loved God and who had a relationship with God. Their life is literally moving in two totally different directions. But yet Samson decided to follow his eye and to get caught up with somebody who did not love God. There was no compatibility here. They were on two different ends of the spectrum spiritually. And if we even tease this out even more, they were on two different total ends of the spectrum emotionally. They had different vision and different values, essentially. How does this apply now when it comes to dating? Because in dating, what you and I need to be mindful of is, how compatible are we? Because it's not enough just to ask, do they love Jesus? It's also not enough to ask, do they go to church? Can I be real? Because not every single person who comes to church has come to Christ yet. It's no shade to anybody, but that can't be. I can't just go off of everything that I see. So we got to be compatible. Is there some shared values there? Are there some shared beliefs there? Here's what Amos 3:3 says. Can two walk together without agreeing to do so? Do they have godly character? And part of us being with the right person, it also means looking in the right places. Samson was not going to find a woman of God in this valley. No. Someone was like, Pastor, you really don't know. God may have had somebody else in the valley. And that's how we end up getting caught.
But pastor, he's not perfect. I mean, he goes to church, you know what I mean? And, but pastor, she put a scripture on her Instagram profile. I mean, come on. She posted a picture of her praying, you know, like, she got to be right, right, pastor? Not necessarily.
I have to be led by the Spirit. And I got to also recognize that just because somebody is available to me doesn't mean that we're compatible together. You single? I'm single? Let's mingle. Not necessarily. Which leads to this third point. We should write this down. We also need connection. So verse 6, when we go back to verse 6, notice what Delilah says to Samson. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me, where does your great strength come from? How could someone tie you up and make you helpless? And Samson told her, if they tie me up with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I will become weak and be like any other men. Verse 8, the Philistine leaders brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him up with them. And while the men in ambush were waiting in her room, she called out to him, Samson, the Philistines are here. But he snapped the bowstrings as a strand of yarn snaps when it touches fire. And the secret of his strength remained unknown. And she did this with him multiple times. She kept trying to figure out and figure out. Figure out. Samson, she's trying to play you, bro. She batting them nice little eyes, bro, but she got an agenda. And the Bible says over, matter of fact, jump down to verse 15. Here's what it says. How can you say, this is after Samson done told her all this fake stuff. You know, the secrets of my strength, you know, just get some bowstrings and tie, you know. He's making up all this stuff. And then she switches it up now. Now she appeals to his heart. Verse 15. How can you say, I love you, Samson, when your heart is not with me? You say you love me. If you really love me, don't act like y'all haven't heard this. Come on. If you really love me, you'll tell me the secret to your strength, Samson. And over, she does this over. And the Bible says she just wears him down over, because the enemy knows that sometimes the secret to taking you out is wearing you out. So he'll throw one temptation your way. Oh, they ain't bite on that? Okay, I'll throw another one. And another one. And like Khaled says, and another one. And another one. And what Samson didn't see was she was playing him, manipulating him. Because here's what she did not want. She was not interested in connection. She was interested in control. That's what this was all about. But Samson is blind to it because he's infatuated. And it's a cautionary tale, y'all, that if we're not careful, we can be so infatuated with something or someone that we ignore the red flags. So we love the way that they make us feel when they look at us. But we gloss over the fact that they are controlling and manipulative and conniving and are scheming. Don't date Delilah. Leave her alone. Come on, can I be real? Run from her. Don't have nothing to do with her or him. I know they look good. I know they talking good. And I know they sound good. And I know they got all the things that draw you in, but man, it's a trap. And we need to be on guard, which is why we need to ensure that there's some legit connection. And Samson didn't see that there was not really any connection, because here in verse 15, she's asking, if you love me, when your heart is, how can you say this when your heart is not with me? And this is the third time you've mocked me and not told me what makes your strength so great. Verse 16, but she, because she nagged him day after day and pleaded with him until she wore him out. He told her the whole truth and said to her, my hair has never been cut because I am a Nazarite to God from birth. If I am shaved, my strength will leave me and I will become weak and be like any other man. So I want you to see here, Samson is being transparent now and is being vulnerable. She still is not. He's opening himself up. She's still being on guard. You want to know a red flag of somebody if you're dating somebody? You telling everything. And they just gathering information. And also, by the way, it is not a good idea to tell your whole life story on the first date. Can I just give us some relational wisdom? Like, you don't need to tell your social security number on the first date. Can we be real? Because we live in a crazy time. It might even be wise for you not to give them your phone number on the first date. I know it's tight right now. I'm trying to help us to not experience, in Samson's case, blindness and bondage. We need to be careful with that. So we need to ask, is there really a connection here? Is there a spiritual connection here? Is there an emotional connection here? Is there a little bit of transparency, some vulnerability? Do they want to, see, I got to ask questions like, do they want to have a family? That's important to understand. That's a connection. You got to talk about that. Do they want to have kids? Do you want to have kids? Like, you don't want to start talking about that when you get married. That could become problematic. And I'm not saying this from a place of judgment. I'm saying this from a place of perspective and wisdom because I've seen this happen. So we got to begin to have these type of conversations. Who church we going to? Come on, where are we going to live? They want to live in an island type of area. You want to live in a cold area. Well, we got a problem. But these are some of the things that we don't deal with. But this is the type of stuff that fosters connection. Here's another one. Can we be real? A lot of times we don't like to talk about this in the body of Christ because we think like talking about this is like shameful, but in all actuality, it's not, because the Bible actually gives us all these different pictures of this in the scripture. Is there a physical attraction? Like, do they actually look good to you? It's okay. Like the Bible talks about this plenty of times in the book of the Song of Solomon. Yeah. Solomon is talking about his wife-to-be, and he's talking about her physical appearance, and he's talking about how he's drawn to her. It's okay to have a physical attraction to somebody that you might be interested in dating in. The problem is when you build a whole relationship on that. That's where the problem occurs. Because here's what the Bible says. Beauty is fleeting, meaning this, that it's here one day and it's gone the next. They can look good in their 20s. And then time goes by. You got to have more than some looks. You got to have some character too, and some anointing. Some y'all not talking to me now. Now it's getting real tight. Come on. But there's nothing wrong with having a physical attraction. You're going to see this person for the rest of your life. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with, oh my God, Lord, help me. There's nothing wrong with, you having maybe I kind of like this type of person and this, that. There's nothing wrong with that. But we've demonized that. And part of the reason why we've demonized that into the church is because what culture has done is culture has exploited that. But I'm here to help you understand, there's nothing wrong with being physically attracted. Like when Adam saw his wife Eve, the Bible says God put him to sleep and he woke up the next day and he said, this is my wife. Some pastors would say, he said, whoa, man. My God. Whoa, that's my wife. It's wifey right there. There's nothing wrong with that. But what culture does is it puts it out of order. And so now we're drawn in lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. And now that's what leads to the downfall. So what you and I have to do as believers, if we're trying to do it the King's way, we got to examine all these areas of connection, spiritual connection, emotional connection, maybe even some physical connection. But here's another thing I need us to get. I'm going to move through this really quick because I'm running out of time. Here's another thing that needs to be present that was absent in Samson's case. We can learn from Samson's story, not by what's present, but by what's absent. God was not present, meaning Christ was not present. There was no compatibility present. There was no connection present. You want to know something else that was not present that is huge, and I need us to get this. Counsel was not present. He did not have wise counsel around him. There's nobody in the scripture that's telling Samson, this is a bad idea. There's nobody in scripture at all that's telling, we don't see anybody in Samson's life that's holding him accountable. Hey fam, she looked good, but she talking real reckless. Why she keep asking what's the secret to your strength? Come on. He didn't have nobody in this who was asking him these questions. And here's the reason why this is so important. Because when it comes to dating, watch this. When it comes to marriage as well, you need wise counsel around you. People who will hold you accountable and ask you some of the tough questions that nobody else will ask. You need somebody, married couple, who's in your life that'll say, hey bro, why are you yelling at your wife like that? Hey, sis, why are you talking to your kids like that? Because in our time, we don't like to be held accountable. But it's the accountability that actually prevents downfalls. And because Samson did not have wise counsel in his life, or at least was not listening to the wise counsel that maybe God placed in his life, it led to his downfall. So here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 11. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. Proverbs 11, 14. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. There is safety in counsel. Meaning this, that you need some godly people around you. Can I say it like this? Who will keep it real with you? Who will not always tell you what you want to hear, but will tell you what you need to hear. Who will tell you, hey man, you real thirsty right now. They won't be real today, Lord. Help me. You need some people right now that'll tell you, hey, look, I know you're attracted to them, but I don't get a right feeling in my spirit about them. Every time I'm around them, they'll never look me in my eye. That anytime there's fellowship and other people coming around, they always not around. Why? What they trying to hide? Come on. That whenever you invite them to church, they'll never show up. We need some people in our life that can speak into our life, that'll give wise counsel. Samson did not have that. And I wonder how much of this could have been avoided if he either would have had people in his life that he would have submitted to or listened to the people that God placed in his life. Here's what Proverbs 12:15 says. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Here's what Pastor Craig Rochelle says. The enemy loves relationships that live in secrecy because secrets prevent accountability. And here's what we do. We hide it under this whole aspect. I don't want everybody knowing my business. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. I got my own money. I got my own place. And you're going to have your own bondage too. So yeah, everybody doesn't need to know your business, but somebody does. Even a Batman had an Alfred. You need somebody in your life that can speak into your life. Let me say it like this. That's not going to just always gas you up. Oh, Samson, you're so strong. I just love you so much. No, you need some people. I'm not impressed with your strength. Because right now you're tripping. We need wise counsel, family. That's why we have things like connect groups, because what connect groups do, they provide a space to have these type of conversations and community. How many falls will be prevented if we would simply be around the right people? Yeah. Y'all, I'm gonna be honest. There has been because of right relationships in my life, it has saved my life from unnecessary pain that I could have experienced had I gone about things my own way. Plans succeed, the Bible says, because of a multitude of counsel. You need godly people around you. You cannot do life alone, and you sure enough cannot do relationships alone. This is why we're having Remastered in a few weeks. This is why we have spaces to cultivate community, because you can't do this alone, because the enemy recognizes the minute you get alone, that's the minute I got you. And here in this passage of scripture, you always see it's Samson and it's Delilah. Samson and Delilah. He never read the fine print. On the surface, he was caught up. He was infatuated. And here's what it led to next, which was not present. And I need us to get this too. It shows us here that in dating, here's what we also need. And I know this is going to push back against so much of what culture says today. And I know this might make us a little uncomfortable. But in dating and in all relationships, here's what we also need. We need consecration. Amen. Here's what I mean by that. Our relationships, our life is to be set apart. Yes. Pastor, where do you get this from? Let's go back to verse 16. We'll read this quickly so we can wrap up. Here's what the Bible says. Because she nagged him day after day and pleaded with him until she wore him out, he told her the whole truth and said to her, "My hair has never been cut because I'm a Nazarite to God from birth. If I am shaved, my strength will leave me, then I will become weak and be like any other man." So this hair essentially is a picture of sacredness, something that's been set apart, something that's not supposed to be touched, something that's not supposed to be played with, something that's not supposed to be given up. And when Delilah, verse 18, realized that he had told her the whole truth, she sent this message to the Philistine leaders, come one more time, for he has told me the whole truth. The Philistine leaders came to her and brought the silver with them. Then she let him fall asleep on her lap and called a man to shave off the 7 braids on his head. Let's pause here. What kind of deep sleep do you have to be in? You getting a full-blown haircut. And you knocked out cold. What? Braids. And there's a good chance because of who Samson was, his hair had never really been cut for real. Them braids might have been kind of long. To sleep through a haircut like that, what kind of atmosphere has been set with you and Delilah where you can get so comfortable having something that's meant to be sacred and not touched at all be cut away and not even feel it and be numb to it? But that's exactly what the enemy does. He wants to numb us up spiritually so that way we don't even feel the convictions and the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's really seen when it comes to dating. Brother is knocked out cold. I've been getting my hair cut every single week throughout the course of my life. If the clippers hit my head a certain way, I'm having a problem. He's knocked out cold. He falls asleep in her lap. How much time y'all got? In a very compromising situation, he's laying in her lap. He's Netflix and chilling. Sitting on the couch, fell asleep watching the movie with hands wrapped around, real comfortable. I wonder if Delilah had some stuff burning in the background, setting an atmosphere for compromise and sin to take place. And he fell asleep in her lap. You know what that means? That means he was laid there for a while. Yes. And she just talking to him. Tell me about your day, Samson. Samson, how was your day at work? Samson, tell me your hopes and dreams. Well, you know, I've been thinking about one day, you know, thinking about all that God. Because the one thing that the enemy wants to do is get you in a compromising position, especially in dating. Specifically, can I get real? Yes. I'm gonna wrap up here. Specifically now when it comes to our bodies. Yes. That one of the vices in singleness and one of the vices when dating has to do with sexuality. Amen. Now you don't specifically see that here in this text, but it's implied in the sense of there's a principle here that something that was meant to be sacred has now been offered up. How does this connect now with what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6? He says this, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Your body is the temple of the Lord. And one of the things that the enemy wants to do in dating is he wants to get you to compromise and I to compromise if we're in the season of dating by giving up our body. If you love them, give them your body. Test drive this. Nothing wrong with a little bit of Marvin Gaye and Luther Vandross. Nothing wrong with an extended hug. Hands going in places where they shouldn't go. We're grown, we can handle it. And then it leads to a fall. Falling into temptation. Giving into sin. And now I've given up my body. I've been sexually intimate with this person now. I've crossed the line. Here's what Paul says also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. He says these words, "For this is God's will, your sanctification." That's what consecration is all about. "That you keep away from sexual immorality. That each of you knows how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Not with lustful passions like the Gentiles who don't know God." This word sexual immorality speaks of sexual activity outside of marriage. It is where we get, is the Greek word porneia, where we get the English word pornography. It means any type of sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage. But it also means in the context of marriage, anything that corrodes and goes against God's will in a sexual purity standpoint. So that could be pornography. That could be things like affairs, adultery. You know what's crazy about this? If you read earlier in 1 Kings, in Judges chapter 16, the Bible actually talks about how Samson's family gave him a wife. So technically, Samson was married, which means you had no business being with Delilah. But when your eyes have drifted from the Lord and they're fixed on yourself and they're fixed on somebody else, a fall is bound to happen. But God says, when it comes to your dating, I want it to be consecrated. So I'm talking to my young people in here that you're going to be tempted in different ways in this season as a student in middle school, high school, even college. That the enemy is going to throw all things your way. No. God has called you to be consecrated. You're set apart. Matter of fact, I want you to understand this. Our bodies are God's temple, not people's playgrounds. Our bodies are his temple, not people's playgrounds. So my body is meant to be under lock and key. I don't care if you're single and you're 60 years old. Amen. This still applies to you. Because it's easy sometimes the enemy causes to think, oh, you know, you're older in life, and you're walking with the Lord, and you got needs. No, you need to be submitted to Jesus. Amen. That's what you need. He wants us to be consecrated. And I hear what some of us may be saying, like, Pastor, man, I've had some lapses like Samson. I've fallen short and I've messed up in dating and I've given my body to multiple people and I've fallen short and I've done things that I shouldn't have done things I'm not proud of, done things I'm shameful of. And some of you are here right now, you feel lost, you feel confused, you feel guilt, you feel shame because of things that you've done or maybe things that were done to you. But can I encourage you with this, that in the midst of Samson falling short, the Bible says that God still caused his hair to grow. That God still extended grace to him after his painful decisions and experiences. But I want to read you a scripture in verse 28 that says this. This was after Samson was bound and people were making a mockery of him. Verse 28, he says this. The Bible says, he called out to the Lord, "Lord God, please remember me. Strengthen me, God, just once more. With one act of vengeance, let me pay back the Philistines from my two eyes. Verse 29, Samson took hold of the two middle pillars supporting the temple, and he leaned against them, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the leaders and all the people in it. And those he killed at his death were more than those he had killed in his life. Here's the principle that I want us to see, that in the midst of Samson falling short of the glory of God, in the midst of Samson going against the word of God, in the midst of Samson getting with Delilah, even though he had no business doing that, and his eyes were gouged out, and he found himself in bondage, and he found his freedom restricted, he called on the name of the Lord in the midst of his bondage, and God heard his cry, and God responded to his cry, and God strengthened him again, and God renewed him again. And the reason why that's good news for us is because it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter how bad your past is. It doesn't matter what you said. God hears the cries of people who call out on his name. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that says, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord? I need his strength, and I need his grace, and I need his mercy. I need his forgiveness. I need his new beginnings. Calling on his name. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes. That when we call on the name of Jesus, we're saved from our sin. We're cleansed. We're made new. And it may not change what has happened, but it changes you to be able to move forward in spite of what's happened. And I'm speaking to some of you in here today who've been carrying around some things in your life for so long. Guilt. Regret. Some of you are like, man, I wish I would have never linked up with this person. It just wrecked my life. I didn't listen to wise counsel. I ignored the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I saw all the red flags, but I ignored it. And it's led to a mess. Can I let you know that God majors in bringing miracles out of messy situations? It doesn't matter how bad it is. He can restore. I want everybody to stand to our feet. If you're here this morning, now, this day, this afternoon, if you're here, I want you to know this, that just as God responded to Samson's call, he also wants to respond to your call. But I believe that I'm speaking to some of you here today, that somebody caught your eye. You entertained some things that you should not have entertained, and it led to some things that should not have happened in your life. And maybe you're carrying that with you today. And you're like, man, Pastor, it's hard for me to move forward because of that. I feel that guilt. I feel that shame. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and this is you, you know you're carrying around some things. You're like, Pastor, man, my body count is way high. And it's hard for me to see myself the way God does. If this is you right now, can you just slip up your hand? I just want to pray right now over you. If you're wrestling with some guilt, some things that you've done and some things that you've said, dated the wrong person, wherever you are, just slip up your hand. I just want to pray over you. Father, I pray for every single person in this place right now. God, that you would help them, see them through, renew them, refresh them, in spite of what they have done, in spite of what has been done to them maybe. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they would know that they are loved by you. That no matter what's happened, they can begin again. In Jesus' name, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. Some of you are here today, and the one thing that you have not done yet, you've tried everything on your own. You've tried dating on your own. You've tried life on your own. You've tried jobs on your own. You've tried spiritual connection with God on your own, but it has not worked. I'm here to let you know that the only way you can experience a new beginning is through relationship with God through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know that Jesus came from heaven to earth to die for your sins, to forgive you of your sins, to make you new. If you're here today and you want a new beginning in Jesus Christ, you want to start over with Jesus, you want to give your heart to him, you want to give your life to him today. If this is you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to shoot up your hand on the count of three. One, this is the day of new beginning. Two, any person who's in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, shoot up your hand. Shoot up your hand. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Come on, wherever you are, shoot up your hands. Amen. Amen. Any person who's in Christ is a new creature. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Come on, shoot up your hand wherever you are, wherever you are, wherever you are. For every hand lifted in this place, for every person who wants a new beginning, would you say these words after me? Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we put our hands together for those who said yes to Jesus? Come on, can we celebrate? I saw some hands go up today.